All right, open your Bibles, Acts chapter 3. Here we go. We're just going to go. Verse 1. I hope you're there. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. Okay, stop there for a minute. This isn't in my notes, but I just want to clarify something. Life groups, Leslie said in Acts 2, it said they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread together and met in each other's homes daily. And right here we see that Peter and John were going to the temple for a time of prayer. See, they continued to go to the temple even after the resurrection of Christ, even after the birth of the church. They continued going to the temple as they had done their entire lives, because there's something important that happens when the body of Christ gathers together in one, right? But they also then met together daily in each other's homes, broke bread together, developed relationships. We need both. We need both. Okay, that was free. Let's keep going. At 3 p.m, now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, here we go, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Why don't more of us walk into this place jumping and running and praising God, right? I'm going to do that next Sunday. Watch out. Okay. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them to the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed." I love just the boldness of Peter. It's like, guys, why are you amazed here? Like, you're the ones who killed Jesus. Like, it was your fault. He's speaking to them. "You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God has raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you've seen and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." One of my best friends, Pastor Tommy Miller, and I were having a conversation a couple years ago. And we were talking, and he was referring to when Peter was on his way right to the temple, and even the shadow, his shadow, that would fall over people would heal them as he was walking on the way to the temple. And Tommy is there, and we're talking, and he's like, "Man, I want that. Like, I want that kind of power that I don't even have to touch them, speak to them, just my shadow, like right now, my shadow right there going right over Leslie, heals people. I have that kind of anointing and power." As we're sitting there talking, another local pastor walks into the Daily Grind where we are, and he just comes over to say hi to us. And so Tommy, you know, is in the moment, and he says, "This is what I want. Like, why isn't this happening? Why don't we see these kind of miracles happening?" And that pastor looks at Tom and he goes, "Well, because you're not Peter." And he walks, you know, he was just walking by, and so he keeps on going. And Tommy looked at me and goes, I want to throw up. Like, what is that? Why do we lack such faith and belief in what the Word of God says? I'll tell you today, this is probably the most challenging message Leslie or I have ever preached. And it's going to challenge you. It's going to challenge you, your faith. Do we truly believe what the Word of God says? Or do we just say it and sing it? The Passion Translation, verse 16, it's on the screen, says it like this. Faith in Jesus' name has healed this man standing before you. It is the faith that comes through believing in Jesus' name that has made the crippled man walk right in front of your eyes. How many of us today want to see the impossible become possible right before your very eyes? Do you really want to see it? Do you really believe it can happen? Because it can. God is not a liar. And God's word is truth. It doesn't just contain some truth. God's word in its entirety is truth. 100%. Right before, right in front of our very eyes. Okay, let's go back to where we were last week. John chapter 14. You can turn there if you want to. And let me put this in context. John 14 is the beginning of the final conversation Jesus has with his disciples before he goes to the cross. John 14, 15, and 16, and then his prayer in 17. Following that is when they depart for the garden. So think about this. 3 years of ministry, 3 years doing life together with these men, and this is the final conversation they have together. And it's so interesting to look at John 14, 15, and 16 and to see basically how, you know, they say to really retain information, you have to hear it at least 3 times repeated to you. And how Jesus basically repeats himself in all of these chapters because he's trying to drive home a point to his disciples, something he wants them to hold on to and never forget. And I just want to pick out one of those points that we see in all 3 chapters. So I'm reading from the Passion Translation. It's going to be on the screens. You can read from your translation as well. But here's what Jesus says, starting in verse 12, chapter 14. I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask in my name. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it for you. He said, ask me what? Anything. Anything. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it for you. The word do there, believing in me, you will do the same mighty miracles that I do. The Greek word for that is poieo. Say poieo. Okay, so now the next time you apply for a job on the application, you can check bilingual, because now you speak Greek, because I'm going to tell you what this word means. Poieo, say it again, poieo. And I'm saying it right, I even looked it up. To make, to produce, to create, to bring into existence. So when Jesus says, you will do the same mighty miracles that I do, you will do even greater things than I have done, you will bring these miracles into existence through my name. Now, this just wasn't a slip-up by Jesus. He didn't just say something and later on thinking, man, did I really mean what I said there? How many of you have ever done that? Like, you say something and later on you're thinking through what you said, like, Don't know if I should have said it quite in that context. We've all been there. Well, let's look at chapter 15, verse 16. Jesus says, "You didn't choose me, but I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world to bear fruit. And your fruit will last because whatever you ask of my Father in my name, he will give it to you." Once again, whatever you ask my Father in my name, he will give it to you. Jump down to chapter 16, verse 23. "For here is eternal truth. When that time comes, you won't need to ask me for anything, but instead you will go directly to my Father and ask him for anything you desire, and he will give it to you because of your relationship with me. Until now, you have not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name. But now you can ask and keep on asking, and you can be sure that you'll receive what you ask for, and your joy will have no limits." Okay, I'm assuming by now about half of you have tuned me out, and that's okay. Because we've all heard this before. And we all say this, but when it's crunch time and we've been in desperate situations and we've cried out to God for something to happen and it doesn't happen, then what do? Where do we go? It says it right there. You'll receive what you ask for. Ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it. The Father will do it. We'll come back to that in a minute. So what does it mean, doing something in Jesus' name? What does that imply? How many of you finish your prayers with this phrase, "In Jesus' name I pray, amen"? Right? What does that mean? Did you ever actually stop and think? I mean, we say it all the time. Do we understand the power that holds when we say that little phrase, "In Jesus' name I pray"? What does that mean? What does that imply? First, it implies being completely aware of who he is, his desires, his purposes, and what he's capable of. Praying in Jesus' name, being completely aware of who he is, his desires, and his purposes. What did Jesus pray in the garden? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," right? So Jesus is saying, "Father, my greatest desire is whatever is going on up there happen down here. Heavenly realities become earthly realities because of you." That is the desire of Jesus. Sometimes we can really become confused at what is God's will. And we can make God's will become this mysterious, far out kind of idea that, you know, before we can do something, we have to make sure it's a part of God's will, that I'm living in God's will. I don't want to miss God's will for my life. So let's just talk for a minute. What is God's will? How do we know God's will? How do you figure that out? Is there some sort of magic formula? You know, how do we know? Leslie and I, we're close. We're tight, right? We've been married 13 years. We've known each other for 20. And when I go to Target, the very rare times I'm there without her, because it's not very often, because we're always there together, and if I'm in Target and I see something there in, you know, the Magnolia section, you know, Chip and Joanna Gaines, Fixer Upper, you know, Leslie loves that stuff. And before I buy something, do you think I need to text her and say, "Honey, I'm not sure. Do you really think you would like this?" Okay, husbands, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't. I don't, because I know her. I know her heart. I don't have to pray, God, is this Leslie's will, you know, for what she wants and what she likes. I don't have to do that because I know her. Yet, for us, God's will can be so mysterious and so far out of reach. The closer we get to God, you're going to know. He gives you his heart. Jesus is saying it through all of these chapters. You and I, we're one, as the Father and I are one. And you're going to know. You're going to know his will because he's downloading that into you every day. You dig into his word. Every day you approach the throne with boldness and you cry out to God and you learn his ways and you learn his heart. You know him. You know his heart. You know his will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Doing something in Jesus' name. So the second, acting as his representative. Acting as his representative in faith and with his full authority and power. So when you would be commissioned by the king, and the king would send you to another country, you would go in his name, and you would stand before the other king, the other ruler, whoever it is. And something would be very well understood. Because you came in the name of the king, you bear the complete and total authority of the king himself in his name. And so when you pray in Jesus' name, when you ask in Jesus' name, we have to understand, church, that we have his complete authority and power to proclaim what we're proclaiming, to decree what we are decreeing. It's all ours. He's in us. We are one with him. We can say it with boldness, with no doubt whatsoever in our hearts. Because he has, right, Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me. Go. He's given you authority. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, you were empowered. The church came alive through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the power. We can step into any situation, into the most impossible of circumstances, and declare in Jesus' name, because we have his power and his authority to do so. And darkness trembles at that name. Sickness is gone in that name. Whatever we ask for in his name, Jesus says the Father will do. And the third, doing something in Jesus' name, promoting his purposes in all that we do. We honor God. Whatever he is saying, whatever he's commissioned us to do, wherever he is leading us, his purposes, we honor them. We promote them. It's his will. It's not mine. All right, Mark, we're with a lot of scripture today because we got to internalize this. We got to feed off of this. Mark chapter 16, Jesus says, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well." Is this the church we're seeing today? These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They're going to do all of these things. Do we see these things happening today? Not as often as we want, do we? But does that mean it's any less true? Just because we're not seeing it happen, does that mean, oh, I guess that was for the church back then, but today it's different. Culture's different. Society, we don't operate like that anymore. No. Believe me, if we're not seeing these things happening in our presence where we go, that's not a God problem. That's not a truth problem. That means there's something wrong, something we are missing. Because this is in His Word, and we've already established His Word is true. He is unchanging. So why aren't we seeing these things taking place? Resurrection power in word, touch, and action. And we see it in all those three in this verse. Word, touch, and action. In word, they will speak in new tongues. In touch, they will pick up snakes with their hands. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. In action, they will drive out demons. When they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. Resurrection power today is available to us in our words, our touch, and in our actions. See, the right thing needs to be said. A casual comment is not going to accomplish much. I'll be praying for you. Oh, bless your heart. That's so sad. Oh, you have cancer. Oh, that's a shame. You know, I'll be praying for you. What? What? Like, no. The decree of God is what we say. We speak His words as we just read. Cancer be gone in Jesus' name. We speak the words of God directly into the reality of what's happening in front of us, and we watch His power work mighty miracles. And it's not for our entertainment or enjoyment or to build ourselves up. It's for His glory. Man, even my words are not my own but come from the Father, for He lives in me and performs His miracles through me. It can happen. It's going to happen. We're seeing the activity of God already and what is going on here at Lifeway. And we are ready for more. There is always more in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen.
So I've been wrestling with this word all week long and did some intense study on the passage we read to you last week. I tell you this timeless truth, the person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I've done. And I got to be honest with you. In the last 3 years of my life, I have had more faith and had more closeness with the Holy Spirit than I ever have because of a no that God gave me when I asked Him for something. And I think because of a no, that stops us from asking again or for having faith in something else. I think because of a no in this moment or at this time or for this situation, it can totally put us in a place of doubt that God really said what He said and He really wants us to do what He has destined us to do. You were born for the impossible. And that is so hard sometimes. I got hit with grief this weekend. On top of preparing for this message, I miss my son. I'm going to be honest and real with you right now because we have to be real about what goes on in our minds. We have to open up what is kept in the dark and bring the light in. I thought about so many of your situations this weekend, and grief hit me. Lord, it didn't happen in these situations. But you're expecting us to expect more in these situations? Yes. We have to replace the lies with the truth. The truth is, He is for our good. Amen? Always. He is for our good. Even when it doesn't feel good. Even when it doesn't look good. Even when it doesn't turn out. Even if. Right? That's a hard place to walk. But I believe that we've walked in that place to know something more. And I'm not saying God did anything to us. The enemy is evil. But I am saying that God can take all things that the enemy tried to turn evil in our lives and turn them out for the good. It is true. That is the word. That is a promise. Renewing our minds, Travis said it, every day with the word of God. He is for my good. He is for my good. He is for my good. He wants good in your life. He wants wholeness in your life. It's not some psychobabble. It's not talking ourselves up and building. It's true. It's who he is. He proved it. And he gave us more than just forgiveness for our sins. He gave us power. He gave us power. He said, wait, the Holy Spirit's coming. The Holy Spirit will be your comforter. He'll be your peace. He will be your power over sin. Our theology can sometimes get mixed up with our experiences. You've probably heard this said before. We can base our theology and what we believe about God on what we've experienced in this world. Who is the ruler of this world right now? He thinks he is, right? The enemy of our souls. We can base our theology on what we've experienced, and we can say, okay, well, he didn't in this situation, so I'm not going to ask for healing in that situation ever again because maybe I'm not the one that's supposed to ask. Maybe, and then we just create this theology in our heads that isn't scripture. What does scripture say? Greater things will you do in my name. Right? Jesus said it. Therefore, the Father said it. We talked about this last week. Jesus said, I only say what my Father says. I only do what my Father does. He is in such a tight relationship with Father that is what he does. That is all he does. I only say what he says, and I only do what he says. So if Jesus said it, the Father said it. The Holy Spirit empowers it. So what I want to say to you this morning, if there is doubt that has clouded over and creeped in over the power, the resurrection power that lives in you, you rebuke that doubt. You tell the enemy to leave, and you take authority in Jesus' name, and you declare. Jesus didn't say, please, God, would you heal this crippled beggar? Please, God. Oh, please, God. Oh, please, God. He said, get up. Get up and walk. He put mud on a man's eyes, and his eyes were open. He did what the Father said to do, and healing happened. Power flowed through him, and he's telling you that same power lives in you. And I need you to trust me. I need you to trust my heart. I need you to trust me when I say no, and I need you to trust me when I say yes, because guess what? If we start seeing miracles happen, we could start thinking it's us doing it. And we got to keep our focus. Our focus on our relationship is with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he is the one pouring glory through us. It's not me. It's him. All glory to his name. That we walked through the situations we walked through, and he brought glory. He brought healing. He brought 30 people to know Jesus because of our son's life. There's so many cool things that God did in spite of what the enemy tried to do. So we have to determine as a body, together, as unit, as unity in the body, we have to determine as the body that when something doesn't happen the way we think or we want it should, we think it should, it doesn't cause us to retreat, but advance with even more boldness and confidence in who God is. Whew. And what he wants to do in our lives and all of the people around us. This is for all people. Jesus didn't die for just a few select. He died for all. Are you ready to take authority in Jesus' name? Two of you. Are you ready to take authority in Jesus' name? Yeah. Yeah, Shelly. Yeah. He says it's mine. He's set me as a daughter. He has set you as a son. And he says all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me, and I give it to you. Travis prayed with someone a couple of weeks ago in the coffee shop, and they were trying to get pregnant, and they couldn't get pregnant. He prayed with them, and that week she got pregnant. That same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, right? Last week, Taylor was sharing how his job has been intense. I hope you don't mind me sharing your story. How his job has been intense. He's been doing 4 people's jobs, training new employees. He's been doing crazy stuff. And in the board meeting, he asked last week for us to pray. And during that time, the Lord spoke to me and he said, capacity. He's going to increase his capacity. And I was like, cool. You want me to tell him that now? And I waited and I didn't say anything. And Travis was on the phone with him the next day, and I was like, God has a word for you. I got to tell you this. God's going to increase your capacity. I don't know what that means. If it's mental, he's going to make your brain bigger or what. But he's going to increase your capacity, and he's going to bring abundance. Danielle said, no. So then 2 days later, Taylor, he got promoted. God wants wholeness in our finances. God wants wholeness in our physical bodies. God wants wholeness in our families. God wants our families to be saved. God wants to have that intimate relationship that when you hear his voice, you move and you do what he tells you to do. And when you move in obedience, he's going to come through every time. How he does it, when he does it, is not up to you. What is up to you? Obedience. What is up to me? I have to obey his word. What did Jesus do? He did what the Father told him to do. Those are just 2 examples of the Lord. And I know you guys have the Lord moving in your life every day. And you could talk about more of these miracles. Winona, where are you? Somebody prayed over her and said, put that cane in the closet a couple of months ago. That week, she put the cane in the closet and hasn't gotten it back out. Your mind has been transformed when the impossible seems logical. Bill Johnson. Your mind has been transformed when the impossible seems logical. What is impossible in your mind right now? Transform my mind. By the renewing of your mind, that same power that lives in me, that same power that lives in me. I want to think logically in you, Jesus, and logically heaven coming to earth. That's the logical. The upside down kingdom of heaven. We go low to go high. Oh, it's so good. Mm-hmm. Believe, have faith, declare in his name with confidence. We have boldness through him and free access as kings. Did you hear that? That's scripture. We have boldness through him and free access as kings before the Father because of our complete confidence in Christ's faithfulness. We have complete confidence in who he is. That's Ephesians 3:12. Approach the Father in Jesus' name with boldness and humility. You can be bold and humble at the same time. You don't have to get proud and build yourself up and pump yourself up. You go before him with boldness, and in that boldness, there's a humility, and he moves in that. There's a surrender when you say boldly, Jesus, move. But it's up to you, the results. That's humility. This is a beautiful place to stand. Boldness in the Father's love, because he loves us. That is why he is for our good. That is why he said, ask whatever you want in my name. And line up with my will, and my heart, and my voice speaking to you, and it will be done in Jesus' name. Boldness in the Father's love, that he can do it. We have boldness because we know what kind of God we serve. He is an active God. He is an interactive Father. He wants to. He wants to. He's like so excited. He's like, yes, my kids, let's do this. Come on, let's go. He's just up there just cheering you on. That's my girl. He says 5 positive things about me before I even get out of bed in the morning. And I'm thinking, oh, my word. I look in the mirror, you know, never mind. Okay, so that's how God feels about us. He loves us. It's the Father's love that motivates us in boldness. Because I'm loved. Because I am loved. Because you are loved. You don't always feel it. I get that. But he loves you every day, all the time, no matter what. And in humility, in trusting his love, we will prevail over evil. No matter what or how he responds, evil will bow. When we take authority in the Father's love and in Jesus' name, evil has to bow. Darkness always takes out light. I'm sorry, light. Whoa, rewind that. Light always takes out. Can you edit that out of the message? Okay, good. Light always takes out darkness. Woo. It's risky, though, isn't it? It's risky. And when you take a risk and you say, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to let you prove yourself to me here in this ground. And when you step out, that risk actually looks like humility. Because it's not about what you look like. It's not about what you sound like. It's not about you, right? It's not about you. It's risky, and in that risk, you humble yourself and you say, in Jesus' name, I declare healing in your body. And you trust him and watch him work. Sometimes healing happens right now. Sometimes healing happens in weeks. We've been watching some different miracles of kids with autism, and they've been healed, and it took several months, but they watched them come out and their language return and their bodies be restored. That is the kind of Jesus I serve. That is the kind of authority he wants us to take, is to free the captive. Anything that doesn't line up with heaven isn't him, and we have the authority over it. Do you hear that? Anything that doesn't line up with heaven in his heart for humanity, we have authority over that. We're learning this life like Jesus would. Pretend for a minute that Jesus actually lives in you. What would that sound like? If you could look through his eyes, what would you see? If you could hear what he's hearing from Father, what revelation would flow into your life right now? When I heard that yesterday, that's Graham Cook. When I heard that yesterday, I was not in a good headspace. I was thinking negatively about myself. I wasn't thinking like the Father thinks of me. He wants to change the way we think about ourselves, about who we are, about our identity, that we are daughters and sons of the King, and that we are dearly loved. So we don't walk in shame, we don't walk in guilt, and we don't walk in weakness. We walk in his strength. Our weakness is his strength. We need your strength here in this moment. In my head, I need your strength. If you could hear what he's hearing from the Father, what revelation would flow into your life right now? Wake up if it's not your reality. You are sleepwalking. A lot of us, I think for a lot of our lives, walk through life and say, yep, I go to church, check. Yep, I talk to God at least twice a week, check. You know, we have this checklist that makes us okay, when really you are okay. You are saved by grace. You are redeemed. But there's more. There's more. You can stay okay. And that's... But there's more, Holly. Do you want more? Do you want more, Chuck? That same power lives in us. And the word says, in Jesus' name. So we're going to declare something over you this morning. Would you stand with us?
I'm not sure how many of you truly believe what we're saying. Truly believe that you're capable of doing what we're telling you you are. Maybe you're thinking that's for somebody else. Somebody else is going to do it. Listen, we'll believe for you. Because sometimes you are the last person to actually understand the potential that you hold. Other people see it. God definitely sees it. The enemy definitely knows it. And that's why he's trying to keep you in that place this morning. So we're going to believe for you today. And this isn't a Travis and Leslie, Larry and Ruthie thing that, you know, people come to Lifeway and, oh, let the pastors pray for you. We know this is where we're heading. We know this is where God is calling us to go to blaze this trail. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't hear a whole lot of other churches or pastors talking like this, especially not in this area. You're just not Peter. No, you're right, I'm not. Peter ain't got nothing on me, right? Don't put that on Facebook. But I want to see when people come and there's something physical going on in their lives, we're like, they come to us and we're like, no, 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 you need to go have Muffy pray over for you because God is doing something in her right now. And when she prays, people are getting healed. If you need transformation in your finances, you need to go have Mike Bennett pray over you because God is blessing him and he has given Mike revelation about finances. You need to go have Mike. If you're a business owner and you need God to reveal something to you or to grow your business, you need to go see Rick because God is transforming and growing his business. You need to go have Rick pray over you because this isn't about me and Leslie. This is about you. We are the church together. And God has given his church power and authority, and it's time to step into that place. Amen? All right. Put your hands on your heads, just like this. You know your mind has been renewed when the impossible seems logical. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, renew our minds. God, may we think like you. May we see with your eyes. May we wield your power. That even our shadow holds healing, holds breakthrough. May we see resurrection power in our words, in our touch, in our actions today. May we step into that boldness and that courage with complete understanding of who we are and how you see us and what you've given us, how you've commissioned us. May heavenly realities become realities right here on earth. May revival begin. May breakthrough occur in Jesus' name. Nothing is impossible. And we're ready to step into the impossible and trust you. So renew our minds right now, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. No more doubting, no more excuses. We are who you say we are. Now let us be obedient and do what you've called us to do with all authority and power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We love you. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next Sunday.